Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Graeme Hurtrich will be familiar to regular listeners of this programme. He often joins us to tell us about the delicious baking recipes that he serves in his bakery in Rialto in Dublin. And his second book, Cook, is out today. It's a bit of a departure for him. It takes us on a journey from a bowl of coddle all the way to a spice bag. Graeme, you're very welcome.
Hi, how are you?
There's a lovely background to this book because you tell in great detail how your background influenced who you are, how you cook and what you like to eat.
Yeah, like in my first book, Bake, it was all about my granny teaching me how to bake. And then when I had the idea of coming up with a second book, I was like, what else influenced me? And it was growing up, living over the family butchers. And I realised when I kind of delved into this book a bit more, there was a lot more savoury in me. And actually, I'm a trained chef, not a trained baker. Like, I was a chef before I was a baker. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, in a way, I'm kind of gone back to my savoury roots.
Yeah, because you did very little savoury in the last book. So
yeah, it was all baking. Yeah,
so this is more on the savoury side. But when you looked at your upbringing in Athy, and you say this in the book, you realised that it was a lot more than granny who influenced you in the town and the way that you lived there.
And especially on the street, because we lived over the shop on the street. We had a couple of neighbours, like the Hugheses next door and the Flinters on the other side. And we were the only kids on the street. So after that, it was like my neighbours were all these like people that worked in shops, the women that worked in Shaw's, or Mr. Watchhorn that had the greengrocers a couple of doors up, or Bessie O'Donnell in the newsagents, like all these amazing people that were on the street that I met on a daily basis. They were my neighbours. And they had a huge influence on, when I look back at it, the huge influence on food and how we shopped even back then. Like, it was like trips to little shops as opposed to going to the supermarket.
Mm-hmm. And so much has changed now in that regard,
hasn't
it?
So much has changed. But like, I look at Rialto though, where I have my bakery now, and we have our butchers and we have the bakery, and we, well, actually, unfortunately, one of the shops is closed, but that had vegetables, and we have a lovely little centre, which is like a corner shop. Do you know what I mean? So there is still that lovely feel of community in Rialto as well. They're there if you look for them.
You mentioned a lot of special people in the book as well. And one that struck me, and I said, I want to ask Graeme about this. You mentioned someone who worked in Shaw's, who taught you that it was okay to be creative.
Brendan. Brendan was the guy, he was the window dresser for Shaw's in Shaw's and Carlo and Athy. And he was a creative guy. And I always just look back at that time kind of going, he was so creative. And it's like, there's nothing wrong with a man being creative. Mm-hmm. And that kind of stuck with me all through my life. My mum was very creative as well, and I got that from her. But looking at Brendan was a huge influence. And yeah, just seeing a grown man who wasn't afraid to be creative, mm-hmm, was a huge influence on me growing up.
Yeah, because it was unusual.
It was, yeah.
At that time.
And it just gave me confidence to be creative.
And you mentioned your mother there. And last night when I sat down to read your book, I had just put a stew in the oven for today. And I read that she put curry in the stew. And I thought, I wish I'd known that before.
A tiny little bit of curry powder into an Irish stew. It just gives it a little flavour. You're tasting it and you're like, you're not 100% sure what it is. It adds a little bit of warmth, a little bit of depth into the flavour of the stew. And her mum used to do it, my granny.
So it's not, you're not turning it into a curry. It's
an
Irish stew.
It's an Irish stew, but it adds a little bit of flavour to it.
Yeah, I mean, I read it and I thought, I wish I'd seen it before I put the stew in, but I'll give it a go the next time.
It's the tiniest bit, half a teaspoon, you're sorted.
Now, you mentioned there that you were a chef before you were a baker.
Yep.
So where's the first love?
First love probably is baking.
I
probably ended up in baking. But I just, my first love is food. I love food. And like, we haven't got a huge history of great, like, dishes of food in this country, but what we do is we have a great history of product and producers in this country. Like, we have the best beef and meat in the world. We have the best dairy, cheese. We have some amazing produce in Ireland. So what I've tried to do in this book, and I think what a lot of traditional Irish dishes are, is taking really good produce and just making the best of them and getting the most out of them. That's why a lot of our dishes are kind of stewed and long cooked, because it's extracting as much flavour and nutrients of cheap cuts of meat.
Yeah, and they're really lovely.
And they are. It's the perfect time of the year for this book to come out because it's so comforting, all that real comfort food.
When you get it right, it's lovely. You know, the long, slow cook, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Slow
but
and low.
Even something as simple as the mammy salad, as I call a mammy salad.
Or oh, the mammy salad, yeah.
Or that just an Irish salad plate. It is so comforting. Just like Irish tomatoes, when you get them right, are just so good. And a little bit of coleslaw, some baked ham, which has to be rolled. It's one of the rules of a salad plate. The meat has to be rolled up. And a free-range egg mayonnaise. And it's just perfect.
What I really liked about this book is that you're not afraid to talk to us about the food that we really love to eat, whether it is a mammy salad or just a simple bowl of soup or a tato sandwich.
Tato sandwich, yeah. I love a good tato sandwich. But it's important. For me, when I was writing it, I really felt it was important to capture what... It's very much of a time. It's the 80s, it's the 90s, and probably a little bit earlier for me. That's what I grew up in. Like, we grew up in a house that didn't have central heating. We lived over the shop. It was a cold house. We used to get hot milk and honey or a bowl of hot milk and cereal going to bed. I just thought this was our mum feeding us. But when I was writing the book, it was realisation that it's more than that. She was giving us this to warm us up, to send us to bed, like that our bodies were warm. Mm-hmm. And it was... not a kid. So like learning that and realising that when I was writing the book was actually quite...
It's love and nurture, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So to be able to put in a recipe for hot milk and honey was really like important to me to do that. And it was lovely to be able to do that and capture... I think it really does capture a time in Ireland.
Well, sometimes we try to overcomplicate food. So it's nice to be reminded that what you actually like to eat can be quite like, simple.
I didn't realise that people... Like our supper when we were kids was a tiny little bit of a... Like it could be a cheese and cracker or hot milk and honey just before going to bed. And I loved it. A couple of weeks ago, I heard my sister asking my nephew, and he's only 5, and what do you want for supper? And he wanted hot milk. And it was just lovely to hear that actually still happens.
Well, you do that thing where you plot out, you say it's the sort of different way that we tend to eat in Ireland.
The confusing way that we eat in Ireland.
5 meals a day?
So there's breakfast, lunch. No, there's not 5 meals. There's 5 different meal times. Mm-hmm. And it's breakfast, lunch, dinner, tea and supper. And it all depends on when you have one or the other. Because if you have your dinner at 12 o'clock, you have tea later on. But if you have lunch at 12 o'clock, which is soup and a sandwich, you will have your dinner later on. And then some people confuse breakfast or tea with supper and just the words. We have a very unique way of eating in Ireland.
Yeah. Were you like us in Athyna? Did you have the dinner in the middle of the day?
Well, yeah, because we used to be able to come home from school to have our dinner in the middle of the
day. But the busy butcher shop. So did your mother have
My dad had this window. So he used to stand. So our kitchen was behind the shop and then we had like a little day sitting room with a window in it and with a shelf that dad used to stand there, eat his dinner and be able to watch out to the shop. And if there was somebody in the shop, he'd go out then. Like we quite literally lived above and behind the butcher shop. It was really part of my life growing up.
So are you very fussy about meat?
No, well, I am, yes. Yeah. So, like, I love good, proper free-range meat and I will buy... I would sooner buy a cheaper cut of meat, but a better quality, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Like, if I can't afford to go to a butcher's and buy the best ribeyes, I will buy something cheaper and make more out of it. Mm-hmm. Like, you get the best out of a cheaper cut of meat.
Now, if there are any Italians listening, for this bit, will you just put your hands over your ears? Because we're going to talk about lasagna and chips.
Lasagna, coleslaw and chips.
Coleslaw.
The best combination ever, the most Irish. And I have that in the book as a traditional recipe.
Yeah.
So the way the book works is anything that has a blue title is a traditional recipe and anything that has like a burnt orange title is a modern recipe. Mm-hmm. So lasagna coleslaw and chips is, in my opinion, a traditional Irish recipe. I went off it for years. Myself and mum used to make so many. Mum had a bit of a catering business. So we used to make it for the shop and we used to make it for a local pub and I went off lasagna for years.
You'd
but now
enough.
I love it again. I had enough of it for a long time.
But it is a carb overload, isn't it?
Oh, but it's good.
Good. It's lovely. It's lovely. But when you look at it on the plate or when you think about it, like there's a lot going on.
Oh, there's an awful lot going on. But it's just such an Irish trilogy at this stage.
But then you're looking towards the more modern then posh instant noodles. So we're moving away from the traditional now to just nourishing quickly.
It's simply, like, there's nothing wrong with having something really quick and easy. And you can get instant plain noodles, pop them in a pot with some, just add some fresh vegetables to it to make it more interesting. Add a little bit of coconut milk in there to make it more like a laksa. Add some spice in there. Like, this is, like, people all over the world take instant noodles and kind of jizz them up a little bit, make them a bit more fancy. Mm-hmm. So it's just giving people ideas of how of lunch ideas that are quick and easy.
Now, the best tato sandwich ever. Yeah. So I looked at this and I said, well, how now has he turned this into a recipe? Because it's not just white bread, butter and a few crisps thrown into it, but it's a bit more than that.
No, it's a homemade soda bread that's flavoured with tato, cheese and onion.
Fancy.
And cheese and three different types of onion in there as well. And it just brings it to a whole other level. You still need two slices of bread, a load of butter, an extra potato in there.
Yeah,
but
the basics are there.
It's just that bread brings it to another level and really pimps it up a little bit.
So you're putting the onions into the bread as well.
So it's cheese and onion bread.
Okay.
It's a cheese and onion bread with potatoes in the bread as well. So you get these little crispy bits of bread of potato in the bread.
Oh, you'll have to talk me through how you make this now, because I'm getting confused as to what point you put the squished up potatoes into the mix.
So it's a very simple, it's a wet soda bread recipe. So it's quite wet. You pour it into your tin, okay? And it's just the plain flour, the buttermilk, the usual white soda bread. But then you're adding in some cold cooked onions. So you cook them down really long time with butter until they're nice and caramelised. We're putting in some fresh chives in there, some grated cheese. All these are cold. Going into that wet mix, pour it in, sprinkle your tato on top and then bake it.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
And the whole house smells of tato.
Like that is a luxury
sandwich. It's a cheeky tato sandwich, yeah.
What about desserts then? Because you have one in there, I know, which is available in the bakery in Rialto as well, isn't it? The marshmallows and the biscuits.
The Mikados, yeah. The Mikados. And again, they're like giant size, because I wanted to recreate that memory. Remember when you, as a child, you'd have a Mikado and you'd run your finger down the middle to take out the jam?
Lovely.
But they're gone so small and our hands are gone so big. So I have like giant size Mikados that you can do that and recreate that kind of childhood memory. But like a cup of tea and a biscuit at night time. That's why it's in the supper section. And you can't beat a cup of tea and a biscuit at night time.
No, you can't. It's perfect. You can't. You're dead right. The quickest cheesecake then of all time, Graham?
Quickest cheesecake. Digestive biscuit. Actually, chocolate digestive biscuit. A little bit of Philadelphia cheese or cream cheese on top. Squeeze of caramel and some sliced banana. Instant banoffee cheesecake.
Mm-hmm.
I have four different recipes for that in the book. They're just so quick and easy.
Delicious. Now, talking about the simple recipes, people might remember back to Nigella Lawson, who took a bit of heat when she had a recipe for avocado on toast in a cookbook. People said, but that's too simple. But it's not a how-to guide anymore in a cookbook. It is, you know, an individual's collection of recipes that they cherish, things that they really love to eat.
Oh, no, I totally agree. Like, I think I say it in the book where, like, am I mad putting in, like, hot milk and honey? But it was just, and Nigella is probably the same. She had a reason for putting that recipe into her book. And I'm the same. There's a lot of very, very simple recipes in here. But it's stuff that people might know about. Like, we can't take it for granted that everyone's going to know how to make a basic vegetable soup.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important that people have somewhere to go and get that recipe and not be like, with both books, I've tried to aim it at somebody who can't cook, who's like okay, and then a bit more advanced, and then get some ideas from the book.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very important to me all the way through, ever since I started writing, to make stuff that was accessible to everybody.
You have a lovely idea in there. You mentioned the soup. It's the tomato soup with the swirls alongside.
Oh, the cheese wraps. Dippers.
Yeah, can you run through the cheese dippers?
Because it's a really good roast tomato soup. And this is a modern recipe in the book. But if I was an American, this would be a traditional recipe, because grilled cheese and tomato soup is such an American thing. So anyway, it's slices of bread with processed cheese. It has to be the processed cheese rolled up and then fried.
And you're flattening the bread.
You're flattening
the
bread a little bit. So you kind of have like these little mini Swiss rolls with cheese running through it, bread Swiss rolls, if that makes sense. And then you fry them and you just use them as dippers into the soup, and it's just so good.
Into tomato soup, it's perfect.
Grilled cheese and tomato soup is the best combination ever.
You've devoted an awful lot of time to the full Irish
and,
you know, giving us instructions as to what's in there and what's not in there. Yeah. Did you feel people needed a reminder?
I felt... like, some people don't know, do you know what I mean? And some people don't know how to, like, again, what with the full Irish, how to have it all ready at the same time was important to me. Because some people can, like, oh, the eggs are cooked, but the sausages aren't. And how do I actually get everything ready
timing.
For the same time? So it was quite important to put in timings of how to do something like that. And I did the same thing with the roast chicken and vegetables. And it's a learning thing for people to how to process and get all food ready at the same
manage
time.
Manage your time. And
but I couldn't write a book about traditional Irish food and not put in a full Irish.
No, I think you're right there.
Yeah.
I think you're right there. Listen, I said at the beginning of the programme, it's a beautiful book. Your last book was beautiful as well.
Thank you so much.
And this one, I mean, Cook, it just looks absolutely gorgeous.
I'm so happy with it, yeah.
It's a beautiful book. And Graham, I'm delighted to talk to you again and the best of luck with it. It's out now, isn't it?
It is available from today.
From
yeah, today's publication day, yeah.
It's called Cook, Traditional Irish Cooking with Modern Twists by Graham Hurtrich. Best of luck with it, Graham.
Thank you so much. Thank
we'll
you.
We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.